Welcome to the Twinkle Talks EYFS podcast. Working in the early years is busy, funny, messy, and exhausting. Join me, Shana, some of the Twinkle EYFS team, special guest speakers, and other early years practitioners as we talk honestly about our experiences. Whether you're listening for CPD, on your commute, or to help you relax, Twinkle EYFS will share everything you need to know about all things early years. Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Twinkle Talks EYFS podcast with me, Shana. And today we are also joined by the lovely Julia and Louise from the CPD team because we are going to be talking about fine motor skills. Again, this is going to be fine motor skills part two of our little mini series, and hopefully we're going to give you some really good ideas about how to strengthen those fine motor skills before we even think about writing. This also might be a good one to recommend to parents and carers as well, because without going to university or without our experience as educators, I don't think this is a well-known skill and how we teach it and how we deal with it. So feel free to recommend and I'll let them get straight on with it. Julia and Louise are back, yay!
Yeah!
Hi!
Fine motor skills part two. This is very, very exciting. We went over the general gist of fine motor and gross motor skills last week. Very, very exciting. But now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of fine motor skills and what that means, ladies. But before we get there, you got a quick recap just in case anyone missed the first episode.
Yeah, we do encourage you to go back.
Definitely.
But as a quick recap.
Yeah. There's a lot covered in the last one. So yes, just to recap, we talked a little bit last time about what the difference between gross and fine motor skills were. So just to start us off, I think it's important just to refresh. So gross motor skills involve all the large muscles of the body, including things like your arms, your legs, and your upper body. But as well as that, it does involve your awareness of your body and the movement and the strength. So it's not just about the strength of the large muscles in your body. It's all encompassing with being aware of where your body is and how your body moves. And that's obviously really, really important to establish and develop almost before focusing on some of the fine motor skills, because they are directly intertwined and linked together. So then the fine motor skills, that involves all the smaller muscles working with your brain and your nervous system to control the movements in your body. So things like your hands, your fingers, your lips, even your tongue and eyes, all of those muscles working really hard together. So gross and fine motor skills are both important because they control and coordinate different types of muscle groups. And ultimately, if you're developing both of those, children can explore a range of activities. It helps them to perform many important things, like they'll be able to play, they'll be able to perform some of their self-care routines, things like their feeding, dressing and toileting. So fine and gross motor skills should always be developed together.
All right, lovely. In the last podcast, so if you want to find out more about how fine and gross motor skills develop as children grow, we did talk about that from kind of 0 to 3 months and 3 to 6. So that's something that's interesting to go back if you're thinking about a particular age. And just to recap on hand dominance, because that's something that people ask a lot of questions about, just keep in mind that it typically develops between ages of 2 and 4, and it's usually established by the age of 5. And for left-handed children, establishing a dominant hand can take longer. You know, sometimes they use one for different activities. And there's no kind of like definite time when you'll see that. So it's just something to keep in mind. And it's to be aware that hand dominance, not encourage the use of one hand over the other, which can happen sometimes. I mean, it used to happen a lot more back in the day, but just to keep that in mind. And then we're going to move on to all the different skills that make up gross and fine motor.
This is where I'm excited because it's like, you know, it's like with the schemas, isn't it? We find that there were 9 different kind of schemas and we went in. This is what we're going to do with fine motor skills. So what is it? Let me see if I'm right. 7? Is there 7 different kinds of fine motor skills? Say yes, because I counted. I know I'm right.
So did you just ask us just so you could get some like praise?
Of yes, absolutely.
Like, yes,
I did.
Well, then yes, Shana, you're
thank
right.
Thank you. Gold star. That's what I was looking
virtual
for. Thank
gold
you.
Star for you. Clap, clap, clap.
Good, thank you. So we're not going to do it in any particular order. But do you want to just like name all the seven and then we'll go through them one by one and be like, yeah, this is what it could look like. Here are some activities. Go.
Yeah. So the first area that I think is worth focusing on first is gross motor skills, because obviously they lay the foundation for the more intricate, smaller muscles. So gross motor skills, I would say, is number one.
Okay.
It's unfortunate they can't see you, Shana, because Shana's counting.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm counting with my fingers for the audience at home. I'm just making sure I've done this right.
Okay. It one? And then one. The next one we've got is hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Then wrist strength and stability.
Ooh.
Then hand strength.
Then finger strength.
And then scissor skills. And then mark making.
So is that actually in order, or is that is just jumbled?
So it's not necessarily in order. I mean, some will come before others. For example, you need those base skills before you start using scissors. Mark making, for example.
Yeah.
But a lot of them will work in tandem. So they won't necessarily, like hand-eye coordination, for example, won't necessarily come before finger strength.
Right. Yeah, I'm interested in that, actually. They've really broken it down as wrist strength is one area, hand strength is another area, finger strength is another. And I'm even intrigued that they got a whole area for scissor skills. That's impressive. All right.
And what's amazing is this is all linked to planning that has been done on fine and gross motor skills. So there are some incredible work and resources up online. There's even like a whole landing page so you can find if you're just looking to increase children's hand strength or their wrist strength, then there's planning and support just for that and activities as well. So
it's so cool. I'll make sure to put that link in the episode so people can just go straight to it. All right, which one are we going to delve into first, ladies? Which one of those seven areas?
I think we should start with gross motor skills.
Hit me, Lou. Go.
So when we were looking at gross motor skills, we picked out two main elements that are important to develop. So the first area is really the body awareness. So this is the ability to understand where your bodies are in space and changes to the positions that you might make, and really for children to learn about how their bodies move. There's loads of different skills that are linked to body awareness. Actually, I'm going to list them, but I might go into a little bit more detail on some of them because there's some language around some of them that might need unpicking. So the first one is proprioception. So this lets people know where different body parts are and how they move and how much strength each muscle needs to move. So for example, if you've got your eyes closed, proprioception helps you to be able to sense whether your arm is up in the air or down by your side.
Oh, that's creepy. I mean, it's cool. I, as you were saying it, Lou, I was doing it and I was like, oh my God, yeah, I know where my arm is. I can't see it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, so it's almost like another sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about all the senses in our body and it's like an extra one, an extra special skill that we've all got, that we all develop. So, yes, so proprioception is really important. It also enables you to apply more or less pressure and force depending on what you're doing. It gives you sort of that sense of knowing how much force you need. So, for example, your body would know to use less force and less pressure to pick up a feather than picking up, say, a really heavy bag. So that's the first bit of body awareness. Then you've got something called your vestibular system, and that's responsible for sensing any changes in your position and your direction and your movement of your head. So again,
is this the bit that tells us when we know if we're upside down or not?
Yes. So there's lots of things involving sort of moving and spinning and swinging and developing that sense of movement. And it enables you to really balance when you're walking and running. So if you're thinking of when children are learning to do all the fine and gross motor skills, that is a really important skill to develop. So yes, yeah, so lots of the planning has ideas of how you can develop the vestibular system for young children.
Cool.
Then some of the ones also in body awareness, you've got things like crossing your midline. So when you're moving your arms and legs across the middle part of your body to perform a task. So things like putting on your socks and putting on your shoes, or when you're thinking further down the line of cutting a piece of paper or writing, you need to be able to develop that sense of crossing the midline. It involves a lot of coordination.
What I used to do in my nursery and in my reception classes, we always used to do something called fizzy gym in the morning. So that was like a little morning dance that would practice those skills, like crossing the midline, body awareness and hand coordination. Is that kind of the things that you're talking about there?
Definitely. Lots and lots of coordinating both sides of your body and knowing where your hands are as opposed to your feet. That's a perfect example of things that you can do in your settings.
Thanks.
Well done.
Another gold star for me.
I know, they're really racking up.
So then the second part of gross motor skills is the body strength. So that's when you're strengthening all those different larger muscle groups to increase the stability and control of your body. So that would be things like your trunk, your shoulders, your arms, and then going down to your wrist, your hand and your fingers. So it,
what's our trunk?
So the main, the upper part of your body.
Like the abdomen.
Upper part of your body, your core.
Everything but the legs?
Everything but the legs.
Is that not? No?
I don't know. I've never heard of trunk either. So
I've never heard of trunk.
Yeah, I've heard of core. Are you still with us, Lou?
Yeah, I'm still with you. I'm just double checking so I don't say the wrong thing.
She's like, quick, let me Google what trunk is. I'm like, I'm not an elephant. What is
I know. So I was thinking.
Yeah, so that I am right. I just thought I'd double check. So the trunk is your torso. It's the central part of your body. So it's where all your head and your limbs are attached. Yeah, so the trunk is the part that houses all those really important organs around your body.
Yeah. It's the bit of the Barbie doll you can't pull off.
Yes. What a great analogy.
Yeah, so it's your torso, really. So going back, so the skills involved with body strength are all of the large muscles, so developing the strength in your large muscles, learning about posture control, and then your upper body strength and strengthening the shoulder.
Why specifically the shoulder?
Well, the shoulder has got a lot of large muscles, and they're really important because they have muscles at the front and the back, and they need to work together to stabilize the joint. So to have a stable joint will help all of those smaller muscles in your arms and hands work really effectively and efficiently. So you need to really develop the whole range of motion in your shoulder. So it's actually quite important.
Lou, you're like a science teacher. Yeah, you're teaching me some things about my biology. Thank you.
Well, the arm's so important when we're thinking about developing your arm and your body ready to mark, make and write and use specific skills. Things like using scissors, you have to make sure the whole arm and the upper body is strong and stable to be able to do that.
I mean, that's why when you were saying, does it come in an order with these things, of course it's so important for those to come first before jumping to mark.
Got you. Very cool. Number one done. Gross motor skills, what's next?
Tick. Hand eye coordination.
This is what I struggle with, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, the coordination of our eyes and hands is complicated, so that makes sense, and it does need to be developed because, you know, the visual, how it works is the visual information is detected in our eyes, and then the light from the object kind of enters the eye, is refracted or bent through the lens into the back of the eye, and then it sends to the brain, and then the brain processes it and interprets the image so that our hands and arms can respond and find the object in the correct position. So it's complicated, right?
That is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's so important, and like the skills that are needed for it to help develop include also body awareness. You also will need hand strength and finger strength, obviously, to grab those objects and to move objects. And then visual perception skills, those are needed because the skills need us to help to process and understand what we see. And then visual tracking as well. So that's very important for things like catching. Because you'll see children just sometimes, you know, the first time they're learning to catch, it's quite fascinating because obviously you know very well how to catch. And then so just watching them go through it and them holding out their hands and, you know, assuming it will land in there. sometimes they're not quite tracking it, you know, and seeing exactly what goes, and then moving their body. Sometimes they're tracking it, you can see their eyes moving, and then watching it go on the floor.
It's my favorite part. So funny.
So that's always good fun, and that's a good visualization to see how that process kind of comes together. But yeah, it's very important, obviously, and is used for kind of self-care tasks as well as lots of other things, like to play games, to write later as well, and to read.
Yeah.
So very important skills, hand-eye coordination.
Really cool, yeah. And like you say, doing activities like catching and throwing or climbing, and, you know, all your physical things that you might tend to do as well as the fine motory stuff would really help with hand-eye coordination. So that's really cool. Thank you. And number three.
Yeah, we'll go to the wrist strength next. So this is really important when developing hand strength, particularly for developing the grip and pinch when carrying out lots of
really
yeah I know it's quite surprising.
You seem so surprised.
Staring at my hand, like, I thought it was just a finger thing. I didn't know the wrist played such an important role in grip.
Is really important. So not only obviously completing things like fine motor tasks, the wrist is obviously really important. Also things like self-care tasks, so using cutlery and using a hairbrush. To be able to use a hairbrush, you're actually using your wrist quite a bit. And even things like turning door handles and opening doors have a lot of strength and stability in your wrist to be able to do that. And really, children very, very young, from babies, start using and developing the strength in their wrist right from the moment, you know, when they're crawling. So you're developing that ability to push yourself up and to move. So really young children are starting to develop their strength. So to be able to develop that, obviously, you're looking at things like developing a wrist extension. So having the strength to hold your wrist in different extended positions and control it. You're also looking at things like the flexibility of your wrist, so having a range of motion. And in lots of the planning and the guidance, there's some quite detailed drawings about wrist extension and flexing your wrist up and down and then to the side, to both left and right. So it's definitely worth looking at the guidance, because there's lots of information around how to develop the wrist in terms of the flexibility of it.
That's really good to know, actually, because I feel like, I mean, it might just be me personally, but I think I took the wrist for granted, to be honest. I didn't really realise how important that was.
Yeah. We don't talk about it that much, actually. I think in general, it's not a big conversation.
No, and probably people think it's just like part of your arm, but actually being able to move your wrist from side to side is really important when developing writing skills, so that the wrist can move across across the page. So, it, you know, when you actually start thinking about all the things that a wrist does, actually need to give it more credit. It's doing a lot for you.
Yeah,
I agree.
I feel like it's one of those things that when you start talking about all the things you need it for, you're like, and you'd only really realize that in normal life as an adult if you broke your wrist, and then you're like, oh, so my goodness, I can't do this and that.
Yeah, that's really true.
Such a good point.
Yeah. And then the last part of it is really developing the stability of the wrist. So being able to hold it in a stable position will really help children when they're ready to mark make and to write, because they need to be able to have a strong wrist to be able to move it and
control tools and things, isn't it?
Yeah, to control tools. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Number four?
Hand strength.
Okay. Let's go.
So I think most of us would know how important hand strength is and how essential it is for children to be able to kind of grip and grasp objects of different size. And it really helps them to start to manipulate them as well. So they'll be developing the muscles kind of the hand, including the hand arches and things like that, which will really help them to do those kind of actions, basically, that they would be able to manipulate a range of tools. So what they'll need to develop and support hand strength is also the body awareness, which we talked about, sensory processing, because the awareness of the hands and how much pressure is being applied, especially with like different sensory materials as well. And they might notice that kind of, you know, if you're squeezing Play-Doh, for example, you'll be using, depending on how soft it is, you'll be using different amounts of pressure, and that will help strengthening as well. And then they'll need their gross motor, of course, hand-eye coordination, which we talked about, and visual perception, as well as postural control and their cognitive processing as well. Mm. So all really important. And hand strength is essential for everyday activities like, yeah, opening objects or cutting food and things like that, and helping to kind of fasten zips or brush their teeth. And again, as with a lot of these, essential to develop this before getting to mark making and doing, you know, finer motor skills as well.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? I don't really remember that I have muscles in my hand until I've made the Play-Doh wrong and it's really hard. And I'm like, I can't do it.
Oh, exactly.
And you're like, hell, my hands. Or sometimes, because I used to work in a school nursery in reception, if you're working in a school and the art department gets you that big block of clay, they're like, oh, we've got you some clay. And I'm like, can't use it. The hands are too small. Thank you. Because like, if my hands hurt using this clay, these poor little three-year-olds, I'm like, they can't, don't stand a chance. Let's start with soft Play-Doh, please.
It just shows you, though, that as adults as well, we're like the wrist, we take a lot of things just for granted, and you have to remember how much these tiny children are developing, and you know, they're just going through so much of a process. And yeah, trying to put it into your own context of saying, oh yeah, clay is actually quite tough on my hands, you're like, well, imagine what they're dealing with right now.
Yeah, they're doing well. Is this number 5 now?
Yeah,
on 5. So we move on to finger strength. I think we all realise the power of the fingers in able to manipulate tools, as well as for drawing or cutting or writing, will involve a lot of dependence on your fingers and your ability to move your fingers and manipulate them and to have the strength in them. So fingers are very, very important. But also alongside that, again, they help with many self-care tasks and play activities, many play activities, things like being able to manipulate puzzle pieces and push them in and have the strength to do that, or manipulating construction materials to be able to build something. So having the strength in your fingers is really, really important to develop. And it does have a direct impact on hand control and the precise movements in the fingers and hands. So there's many different skills involved with developing finger strength. So that's from things like being able to isolate individual fingers and use specific fingers for different tasks. Things like finger puppets and, you know, being able to hold up one finger up or two at the same time or all of them together. So being aware of each individual finger and the movements that they can make. The knuckle joints. Developing the different knuckles in your hands. The pincer grasp is hugely important, but there's two different types of pincer grasp. There's one called the inferior pincer grasp, and that's the pad-to-pad grip of an object between your pads. And then the neat pincer grasp is the tip-to-tip. So if you look at your fingers, you're putting a pad to a pad, that's the inferior, and tip-to-tip. That's it. I'm looking at Shana currently holding what I think is a peg and she's moving her fingers.
Yeah, it's a clothes peg. My bad.
That's a perfect fine motor object.
Yeah. Right. So pad to pad is like the soft squishy part of your finger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then tip to tip is the like where your nail is.
Yeah.
A bit closer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the tip to tip will pick up even smaller objects.
Interesting.
So things like sewing needles or picking up sequins.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you'll use that.
Sewing needles, that's a good adult fine motor resource.
So you'll be using that more intricate pincer grasp when you're doing that. So there's loads of activities again that are suggested to develop pincer grasp. And then there's flexion, which is when the thumb joint moves in isolation and is able to bend across the palm of your hand to the base of your small finger of the hand. So yeah, that's it. So you're moving.
I encourage everyone to try and do this, because we're trying to do it at the same time.
How many listeners are doing this with us? Is that when you're like, you know, when you test steak for like how rare or medium it's done? That's what you do. You like use your thumb, and if you touch your little finger and then squash the squishy bit under your thumb, it's well done. If it's your ring finger, it's medium rare. If it's your middle finger, it's medium. And if it's your first finger, it's rare.
What?
Did you not know that?
I did not.
I feel
know
like
that.
I've heard this years ago.
Shut the front door. Yeah, so it's like using your thumb. So you need your thumb to test if your steak's good. Life skills. Yeah, you got to touch that squishy bit under your thumb. So if you touch your pinky.
Oh, under the thumb.
Yeah.
I was touching the wrong part. And the closer to the thumb, the rarer it gets.
Pinky means well done. First finger is rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the finger's closer to the thumb.
Yeah.
A rarer.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Teaching you all sorts of things.
You know what I also learned about fingers as well, though? And I only learned this because I do aerial sport, so like silks, trapeze and poles. So I have to use my hands a lot. And I always used to think my hand strength was most important, but it's not. It's finger strength because in some positions, I know, and my instructor also told me, my pinky finger is the strongest finger.
Just you personally or everyone?
Yeah, I've just got like a crazy strong.
I don't know.
Because if you think about when you're holding things, especially say if you're like upside down on a trapeze or on a silk or on a pole,
right.
You think about where you're putting your weight, it's actually on your pinky finger.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you wouldn't think that, would you? You'd say, oh, my strongest finger is my index finger or even my thumb.
Yeah, definitely.
But actually, your pinky finger is doing a lot of the work.
That's mad.
Isn't it?
My goodness.
Don't take no fingers for granted.
No, definitely not.
Do you have to have a lot of upper body strength for your aerial stuff too?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I've got to work these shoulders and all sorts.
You're like, I work it.
All of these gross and fine motor skills you're talking about, I need to do for my aerial sport. It's not just
there
the kids.
There you go.
Yeah.
Adults, if you're into aerial sport, then you can do this for you.
Exactly. Number six.
Yeah, six. We're on to scissor skills. So this is where we were saying some of the later skills that we are talking about build on the others. And scissor skills is definitely one of those. So if you give a child a pair of scissors before they've built up those gross motor skills, the hand-eye coordination, all that, then they're really going to struggle. So scissor skills can develop once children have a strong foundation, and it needs time, and every child will obviously develop at different rates, and that's okay. But scissor skills are important, and it's good to use them. We need them in everyday life to take part in kind of crafts and, you know, different art projects. So it is good, and it's a good exercise actually to test your fine motor skills.
And for self-care as well, isn't it? Because you sometimes they can cut up fruit or ham.
Yeah, exactly. And as we've all seen, they will try and cut their hair.
It's fun.
It's just one of those situations where sometimes you turn around having a lovely old day, aren't we, having a nice time, and they're just there with their hair, and you're like, wait.
Yeah, it's when you see the strands. You see the strands on the floor, and you're like, okay, let me inspect every child who's got.
And you're like, oh, I'm gonna have an interesting conversation with some parents later.
Especially when they haven't cut their own hair, they've cut someone else's, and you're like, oh no.
Oh, I had a great one where I had identical twins and they both had full fringes, and I think we had been working on scissor skills, and they came in after a weekend, because we could honestly, you know, when they're quite young, it's hard to tell the difference between identical twins, and we're like, oh, not gonna be a problem anymore, because one had just hacked at her full fringe.
Oh my. At the weekend as well. That's so funny.
And a small part of me was like, oh, thank goodness that wasn't at nursery.
Because but also development matters, tick.
I was like, oh great. She's got those scissor skills. It was very funny. So, you know, children will need
supervising.
Yes, of course. But to develop scissor skills, they'll need their hand, finger, wrist strength, as well as hand-eye coordination, posture, and visual perception. So they'll need all of that before they can even get to the point of cutting their own hair. And hopefully,
it's quite a skill. You've cut your sister's hair. Oh dear, but well done. Beautiful. Okay, last but certainly not least, then number seven. What's the seventh one?
So number seven is a focus on mark making. So obviously, mark making requires children to use a lot of different actions to be able to grip and manipulate tools. So developing children's ability to use and handle tools is really, really important to help them perform many different practical tasks and also express themselves creatively, which is really, really important. So when we've looked at mark making and creating the guidance around mark making, we've obviously thought really carefully that children will need to develop a huge amount of physical movement skills before mark making takes place. So that's where the gross motor skills, the hand-eye coordination, the wrist strength, the hand strength, the finger strength, and the scissor skills, it's sort of all encompassed and all comes together to then move into sort of becoming a confident mark maker. So children need to have lots of opportunity to explore that, to have many, many different experiences to help them to refine their finer motor movements. So when we've looked at mark making, we sort of looked at the actions that you would need to develop. There's many different ones, so I'm just going to touch on a few of them. So there's pushing and pulling action. So to be able to grasp tools, children are going to be performing pushing and pulling movements, and within that they're going to be developing their gross and fine motor skills. So pushing and pulling is one of the skills that we've looked at to develop mark making. There's also twisting and turning, which really is great for developing the smaller muscles in the hand. So using different tools to twist and turn will develop the smaller muscles, but also the wrist control and strength, which is really important for pre-writing skills. Then we've got things like squishing and squeezing and pressing and stamping.
Poking, is that one?
Pinching. Pinching, which is obviously using tools to develop the finger strength and the dexterity and the precision. So using lots of different tools to develop loads of different mark making actions. And we focus more on the action to create the mark using different objects.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I remember I used to do fine motor and finger gym stuff for my kids. And it, you know, we'd get a big roll of paper on the floor and we'd do different things, or we'd get some Play-Doh and we'd do it to music and we'd do that. And it didn't matter what the paper looked like at the end. It didn't matter what the Play-Doh looked like at the end. It was, like you say, the action of doing it was more important than the end result.
Exactly.
So I think that's also really important to talk about. Great.
And as they get to the later mark making stage, they'll be combining all and refining all of those skills as they handle tools to make really intentional, precise marks. But obviously the joy of mark making, the early stages is like you've just said, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like necessarily, it's the actions that will support and refine the skills.
Yeah, it's great. I feel like I've learned so much, guys. I feel like it's also like been a proper biology lesson. It's great. But we have questions as well from our listeners. Is that okay? Can I kind of put them to you?
Yes.
Lovely.
Great. Okay, so this is a good question, and I didn't actually think about this until someone asked this. What fine and gross motor skills are children developing during water play?
That is a great question, and so handily links to something that we've made, because we actually thought, genuinely, you know, there's one thing learning about fine and gross motor skills, but sometimes when you see children in your setting doing certain activities, you're like, okay, but how does this actually link to fine and gross motor skills? So what we have done is actually break up activities and put the skills that they are working on. So that's really nice. If you're looking to develop certain skills or you're not really sure exactly how it links, then it can be a good exercise and also help you think about, oh yeah, what is it that they're developing? So in water play, for example, they might be using buckets to pull water from one like space, like they'll get it from a tap, carry it, and then pour it into another one. Or they might be picking up jugs and be pouring it with one hand. So they'll be using their hand strength, you know, because they'll need to grasp, and they'll be using those hand arches. I'm using finger strength because they'll need to kind of use their knuckle joints and isolate finger movements. Of course, hand-eye coordination is really important. I mean, you'll see that will develop. Less and less water will get all over the floor.
Will it though? Not when I'm there.
Well, maybe that's related, Shauna.
Maybe I just like water.
Yeah, maybe just like to
make
get
a
everything
mess.
Wet. Yeah, exactly. That's why you should be outside.
Okay, all right. Sorry, miss.
But that's why you have got a bit more freedom when it's a bit warmer outside.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll need to use wrist strength, of course, as you kind of use the extension, the stability to pour it, especially if you're using one hand. And then gross motor skills, of course, you'll use your shoulder stability, which will help that too. So it's nice to think about how it all applies.
It's really cool. Life. Yeah. I never would have thought, oh yeah, well, of course you're developing wrist strength in the water. Mm-hmm. It was pouring. Never occurred. That's cool.
And especially like all those, you know, the different shapes and sizes that you get in the water tray.
Yeah.
That's really great for hand-eye coordination because they might get a big jug, but one of those kind of tall, almost like test tubey, because, and yeah, then trying to fill that up, it's really quite a challenge.
Yeah, that's a good one. This is a kind of link to the next question, but I hear like fine motor is linked a lot with like loose parts play. Mm. So like, how are those two connected really well? Why is loose parts really good for fine and gross motor skills?
Obviously there's two different aspects to loose parts, isn't there? There's the big part, loose parts, but also there's the very sort of the small loose parts. So they will obviously use both fine and gross motor skills development. So you're going to be thinking of it when you're manipulating the loose part, again, using some of the smaller muscles of the hand to be able to manipulate the objects, using your hand arches. You'll be developing individual finger movements because you'll be picking up small things and moving them maybe into dough or maybe positioning them on a surface. You'll obviously be developing your pincer grasp, probably your pad to pad as well as your tip to tip, depending on the size of the object that you're moving. Hand-eye coordination, obviously thinking about where the objects are going to go and your intentional placement of them, and your visual perception of where you want to put them if you're creating, you know, a picture or something out of loose parts. And you're going to be doing a lot of crossing the midline. But you're obviously, if you're using more larger loose parts, you're going to be using a lot of gross motor skills to be able to move them and manipulate them. Mm. So it's loads. I mean, you could probably
cover...
They're
really connected, aren't they?
Yeah, you could probably cover every aspect of fine motor by using loose parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we got one more question as well. And this is a good one, actually. Outdoor activities and games and things like that, of course you would probably automatically link to gross motor skills, but yeah, what about fine motor skills in outdoor stuff as well?
Oh yeah, that's definitely really useful, because if you think about, you know, we were talking about throwing and catching, and you're thinking about climbing on things, and they're going to be using their hand strength and their finger strength, and definitely like hand-eye coordination. When you think about like risky play, if they're trying to climb a small tree or things like that, then they'll definitely need that hand-eye coordination and that strength, of course, along with their gross motor strength. And then they'll be using their wrists a lot as well. So something that they might be doing is like kind of parachute play outside, or they might be playing games as well, and they'll be needing those hand and finger strength for tools or kind of toys that they're resources that they're using outside. So, I mean, it's so important if they're using chalk outside, things like that. I mean, there's so many ways that you could develop all these skills outdoors.
Gardening's my favorite.
Oh, gardening's a great one.
Yeah, because all the different tools.
Exactly. Think about what they need to even just get the soil out. And imagine what kind of, you know, pad to pad or tip to tip they might need to pick up a seed and then plant it. Gardening's a great, great example.
Like, I know I'm biased because I love my gardening, but, you know.
You are an absolute pro. I mean,
I'm so excited. I'm planting more seeds tonight, actually, after work.
Really?
I am gonna,
what are you planting?
Get everything, Jamia. Everything. Fruit or veg, you name it, it's going in a pot. So
when are we coming round for this fruit and veg
when
meal?
It's all harvested, don't you worry. I'll make you a step-up meal. It's all good.
And fruit salad.
Cool. Okay, this is cool. I feel like I've learned a lot, but also it wouldn't be like a proper lesson without practicing it, guys. So I've got a game. But a game for us to practice, yeah, all the things that you've been talking about. And listeners, please play along at home and see how you do. They're like body brain teasers in order to work those gross and fine motor skills. So I've got a couple of challenges for you. Oh, are you ready? Okay, yeah. So I've got five.
Yeah.
All right, first one, you've probably already heard of this one, everybody. Can you pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time?
Yeah.
Let me see. For the listeners at home, they're quite confident. Okay, this is good. All right. Extra level of challenge. Can you swap hands?
I can never do this one. I stop rubbing
I
my head.
I can do that. Oh, Lou is like, I'm ambidextrous. I can do both. Me and Julia are like,
wait. I have to really think about it. I have to be like, no, pat. But you know what I'm doing? I'm patting in a circle on my head. It still won't stay still. I'm like, stay still, Denise.
Beautiful. Sometimes if it helps me, is I do one first and then I introduce the next action. If I pat first and then rub,
I just
or if
stopped
I rub
patting.
And then
it was like pat, 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 pause, rub.
It's really hard to try and do them straight away, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, that's number one. Okay, that's funny. All right, number two. This is a slightly more manageable one, I would say. Pretend you've got a pen in both hands. In one hand, can you draw a clockwise circle? Just one hand, and then stop that hand. And then in the other, draw a circle going the opposite way, so anti-clockwise. Yeah. Now, can you do both at the same time?
That's okay.
Oh.
Yeah, that's okay.
For me, I'm like, wait. Oh,
I,
yeah.
I don't know why that one's easier, but it is. No, no, just move them at the same time.
Well, it's easier for some than it is for others. So
it just shows you, doesn't it, that this is just the way our brains work. Some people find some things easier.
And then can you swap directions?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, and? All right.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because that one, again, you're like, oh, yeah, that's easy. But it's just the way our brains work sometimes.
Yeah.
Go
and
on,
it's
Shana.
Funny, like... right. So clockwise, anti-clockwise.
Yep.
And then swap. I did it.
It was like reverse.
All right, cool. I thought we all passed that one. All right, cool, cool, cool.
Very
number
good.
Three, and this is going to require your hand and your foot, right? Okay. So make sure you're in a safe space, people at home. Don't want anyone
not
falling over.
Not kicking people.
Yeah, please. Yeah, no lawsuits.
Don't do when you're driving.
Please. The car if you are on your way to work. Yeah.
Or do this later.
All right, so you need your right foot.
Yeah.
You need to make a clockwise circle with your right foot.
Okay.
Right, without stopping.
Yeah.
Without, so keep this circle going.
Yeah.
With your right hand, can you write the number six?
Oh, I started to go the other way.
My foot stops. It's like
my foot stopped and went the other way. It was like, oh, so we're going this way. Like, no.
Yeah.
That is really hard.
Isn't it? I literally felt my brain go.
Oh yeah. Every time I try and go the opposite way with my hand, it's like...
No, they talk about really hand-eye coordination. You need hand-foot...
Foot.
It's extra level here. This is hand-foot eye coordination. Yeah,
I feel like there's very few situations where you would need to be like moving your feet in a certain direction and moving your hand.
Come to my aerial classes, I'll tell you.
I think I don't have the strength to come to your aerial class.
Neither do I.
I have very poor upper body strength.
Me too. Right, number four.
Oh, there's another one.
Oh yeah, there's two more, girl. Right.
Okay.
Stick your thumb up.
Yep.
And point at it with your other hand. Now swap.
Okay.
Yeah, but you
hesitate.
That's okay.
I did hesitate.
I hesitated a bit there. For me, my brain's going.
Yeah, I still have to think every time. Why is this such a thinker?
Yeah, when you're pointing, you're not allowed to point with your thumb up. So it has to just be your pointing finger, thumb up.
That is hard,
thumb up,
isn't it? Point. And then you're like,
wow, that's a real thinker. That
Oh no, I've done it wrong. I can't do it. I can't do it.
That's I think hard. For me, it's crazy that. No matter how I mean, I've done it a few times now, but I'm still so slow every time.
Isn't it? You're like, wait, what?
You wouldn't think that was that difficult.
Yeah, really hard. Isn't that hard?
That's wild,
That's really hard.
I'm getting a headache, guys. I'm glad we got one more.
Okay, last one,
I'm going to need to lie down.
Everyone's going to need to recover from this episode. Maybe we should put a disclaimer on
the front.
They
can feel better
than
we're no good at this.
Yeah, we're just as terrible. All right, last one. Can you rotate your head one way?
Mm.
So if you're going to rotate your head clockwise,
yeah.
Can you rotate your tongue anti-clockwise?
No.
No, I can't. We don't have to talk at the same time, do we?
We please do.
Hard.
How do you do that? Right, head clockwise.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If you're in a public place listening to this podcast, that would be hilarious.
Yeah,
no, you're on the train.
If you could send videos of you guys doing this, just to make us laugh, that'd be great. How did you do on that one, Lou?
That was hard.
But really bad. Really, really bad. But it just makes me remember that I've got a lot of muscles in all of different parts of my body that we all need to develop the strength and coordination of.
Yeah.
And I guess we still got a lot of work at the same time.
It doesn't end in early years.
No, definitely not.
Oh dear. Well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you for being such good sports at the end. And I hope we learned a lot there. But yeah, no, this is great. Thank you so much. I look forward to whatever we talk about next. Go have a lie down, ladies.
Yeah, I think we will deserve
definitely a lie down and a cup of tea.
Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Julie and Louise. Wasn't that such a fun game? Did you play along? Please tell me you did. I would love to see or hear about how well you did. Clearly, I was not very good at some of them, but it's quite fun to do, even just as adults, maybe in a staff meeting for just for a bit of fun. So the learning never stops here. We love it. We're always up for a laugh as well. I hope you are too, and I hope you really enjoyed today's episode. I can't wait to see you again for another one. But until then, I'll see you real soon. Bye. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. If you would like to join in or would like to know more, then come and find us on our social media sites. We have a Facebook page, Facebook groups, an Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube. All the links of where to find us will be in our podcast description. Come and join the conversation. And whatever you're doing today, I hope you have a great day.